Good morning. Today is Friday, first Friday of the year 2020. Not fair, not fair. Joining us this morning is Eureka's rookie city manager, Dane Lauder. Good morning, Dean. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, my palms are really dry. How about yours?
A little less dry.
Yeah, okay.
But by the way, I can help you out with remembering the new year. You just got to remember what our vision would be if neither one of us needed corrective eyewear.
Yeah. That'd be 2010, and I'd be in the Hall of Fame right next to Ted.
There you go.
It's not going to work out that way. I don't know if the guys at the hall there told you about this.
Why do we say
that? Yeah, basically, it's a ground leveler for everybody.
Okay.
I think our hit ratio is about 3%.
Oh.
So by not getting it, you are in fine company with a lot of folks. So here we go. We'll start with why do we say long run? Why do we use in the long run to mean the final outcome?
So I'm supposed to define
you
this
You can just
term?
Go, I don't know. And that's okay.
In the long run?
Yeah.
Well, to me, the context of in the long run suggests that, you know, you're trying to anticipate what the end of the journey or the end of the project or the end of whatever endeavor it is you're engaged in looks like.
Hey, you got partial on that one. That's
okay.
The reference is to a race. Best illustrated in the story of the hare, who was ahead for a while but lost out to the tortoise in the long run.
Gotcha.
There you go. All right. Now you're part of the gang.
Yep. I've been baptized.
Yeah, exactly. Why Eureka?
Why not Eureka?
Oh, there's so many things that we talk about. And I'm sure you've seen many indications already of what a lot of us, particularly if we've been around for more than 10 or 15 years, we see and have experienced.
Yeah.
But it's always intriguing for us, for a new set of eyes.
Sure.
To either remind us or to point out things that are maybe things we don't focus on.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a variety of reasons that my wife and I chose to move out to Eureka. And amongst them are we've had a desire to actually, you know, leave the Midwest. We were always attracted to California.
Read the press releases.
and from a professional standpoint, I mean, I'm here under the title of city manager or rookie city manager, I think I was briefly referred to as. And my profession, I do view it as a calling. I've said this in different circles and opportunities to speak with different people here in Eureka, and I truly believe that, so I'm going to continue to repeat it. I chose this profession, or sometimes I like to say this profession chose me, because I like to embrace a community. I like to dig in, and I like to try to make a positive impact where it's needed to be felt. For my last place of employment, you know, I stayed there for 13 years. Amongst the many challenges, the one that I'm probably most proud of is taking on the Pentagon and the United States Army in federal court over groundwater contamination. That's a quality of life issue that impacted many, many residents in that city for decades, and we were successful in holding those two very sizable entities accountable for their actions, their historic actions. And we were able to win in court and build a water plant that kept the water clean and provided safe, reliable water to the people. But that was a project that took years and years.
You're not a lawyer, are you?
I'm not a lawyer.
Okay,
but
good. I thought, take care of that one quick.
But I worked closely with some federal litigators who really represented those people very well back in New Brighton. And a lot of engineers and a lot of scientists, too.
Now, you said went Midwest, and for a lot of us, we go Rockies, Mississippi, East Coast.
Sure.
You know, the compressed thing, you've seen the map of New York City?
Yeah.
And their impression of America? Yeah.
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 Right.
So what part of the Midwest?
Well, I grew up originally in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And so I
dropped your accent.
I See, that's what people say. I actually asked, how long do I have before I convert my accent? And some people said, you don't seem like you have one. So I guess that's, I'm actually kind of proud of that.
Okay. Proud, you popped up. I got buddies in Egg Harbor.
Oh, did you do?
Manitowoc.
Okay.
Rhinelander.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Oh, all kind of in the backyard of Green Bay there.
Yeah. I did one night in Green Bay. No, okay, never mind.
A story for another time.
Yeah. So are you a real cheesehead, or are you kind of like Karen Deemer and you've kind of left your cheese behind a little bit?
There, you know, any true Packer fan never leaves their cheese behind. So, and I am just that. I'm loyal to the end. And I even own a share of the team, even though it doesn't even get me the right to vote at stockholders meetings. But
it's okay. We just know where your alliances lie.
Well, we want to be clear about that, right?
Yeah. So when we see the Packer banner hanging out of the window,
yeah,
we'll know which one to target.
Well, I might try to hide those targets a little bit.
No.
You know, I then lived in the Twin Cities metropolitan area for the better part of 25 years. And so I think living in an area surrounded by Minnesota Vikings fans kind of hardened my loyalties, too, if you will, or reinforced them.
Well, I'm sure you get plenty of grief from many people
regarding
that. So, Eureka was California, or was it you like small towns, California?
Yeah, there are a lot of folks in my profession that view success in a very linear way. You know, when you're early in your career, you start out managing a small town, and then the goal is in 3 to 5 years, you manage a larger town and a larger town and a larger town. And if you're not managing a large town 20-some years into your profession, somehow that doesn't mean success. I define it completely differently. I look at what kind of per capita impact that I can make. So I don't care if I'm working for a town of 5,000, 25,000, you know, 50,000, whatever the case might be. Am I making a difference? Am I doing am I doing value-added work that improves the quality of life for the general community? And so when I learned about Eureka, there are some obvious challenges that I need to sink my teeth into.
Now we're talking real.
Yeah.
Opportunities for growth. There
you
go.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about what some of those are when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Dean Lauder, the new guy in town. That would be Eureka.
I just got a promotion, though, between last time. Now I'm new guy.
Well, I could have called you Cheesehead, and I would have thrown you back a couple steps. Huh?
Only in some people's minds.
Yeah, that would be those with the IQ in three digits. Game on, baby.
Warmer than room temperature.
Yeah. The first segment, Dean, you had indicated that success is positive impact on the community.
Yeah.
Whatever that geographic or jurisdictional thing is. Certainly Eureka, you know, when we talk about Eureka, it's probably more the largesse, you know, the Myrtle Towns and the Cuttons, you know, the sphere of influence thing that everybody talks about. Everybody's got a list. You may still be compiling your list, but I'm sure during the interview process, which was kind of a curious approach, I'm sure you started to develop your top five, maybe top 10. Long term, what do you see? Okay, this is the old Ben Franklin Square. What do you see as the top two or three opportunities? What do you see as the top two or three, we got to deal with this stuff, items?
Well, and I think there's actually overlap between those top two or three opportunities and top two or three, we got to deal with this kind of situation. You know, I had an opportunity to review some survey results with the leadership team a couple Wednesdays ago, and it's clear that the residents' top two issues are drugs and homelessness, and want to see something done about that. And so those are definitely, at least in the public's mind, and I think it's in my mind also, there needs to be something done about that. Now, you started out the show talking about the long run. I think that's those two issues are long run issues. I'm not going to suggest to you that I hauled a bag of pixie dust all the way from...
You use pixie dust as an example, too? Or did you listen to Wednesday's show?
I didn't listen to Wednesday's show.
That is my reference. You know, if you had a pile of pixie dust.
Okay. Did you trademark it? Am I in trouble?
No!
Somehow? Oh, okay.
No, I just didn't know that there were two pixie dust fans in the county.
Oh, yeah. My former finance director, I used to tell her to pull out her bag of pixie dust and fix all financial woes.
You know, now, this ought to put a shiver through everybody in the listening audience. We're of like minds, and you've got the power of signature.
Yeah, well, everybody.
All right. So you got your pixie dust pile there, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. So you know those are actually issues. Some people are kind of surprised to hear this, but again, if you go back to the reason why this profession chose me and what I want to do when I work for a community is make a positive impact that are sometimes big and audacious type projects or goals. I think that those two rise to the top. I think that there are some other, we got to get to it kind of things or top priority for me, and that's infrastructure. We really need to start focusing seriously on our infrastructure. And the city's got to have the resources to take care of that. Some of the roads, as I drove around town, even randomly through for the interview process back in October, was eye-opening.
They didn't tell you you needed to rent a half track?
No. Actually, I had a. I'm not even sure what it was. It was a Ford Sport, which I think is smaller than
Ford
the
Small?
Escape or something.
So you disappeared into some of the potholes.
Yeah, I did. I did. Well, I was able to stick my head out the window. And
right.
See,
yeah, at least see where the sun was. Huh?
Yeah, see what direction the sun was going. But, so infrastructure sometimes I think is oftentimes seen as a very mundane topic, but infrastructure will literally change if it's corrected or addressed. It changes how people see and feel about their environment. It's often, planners oftentimes call this creating a sense of place. And it's much more than just that. It's making it a walkable community, you know, having benches in the right spot, having features out in the right of way that actually make people feel welcomed.
You mean not things for people to hide behind?
Well, hopefully not, no. Not hide behind, but enjoy. And so if we can start chipping away at the infrastructure needs, of which there are many, I think that that'll go a long way also to make the community more attractive to businesses as well.
Is Eureka financially sound? The brand plates, oh, yeah. And then you say, well, what about unfunded mandates? What about PERS? What about some of these things that are out there that nobody talks about because it's not in the operational budget? It's not in this year's budget, but it's still a debt that's out there.
Sure. You know, I can say to you, this will be my eighth day, I haven't dove into the finances to a degree.
All right, you're back to rookie now.
I know. But I'm happy to come back in the future when I've had more time and actually talk very authentically about that, because financially well positioned is where I left all of the previous cities I worked for before. And if there are improvements needed here, then that's where I'll put my time and effort.
Welcome to California.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Did anybody talk to you about PERS?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, good. Well, at least you come in with your eyes wide open.
Yeah, yeah, the unfunded liabilities that each municipality and county's charged in their budget. And it's something that I think, for one thing, people shy away from because it's also not very glamorous. And if people aren't completely satisfied with what's going on in their community, why do they want to put money towards that?
Right, yeah, the lack of sexy.
but it is absolutely necessary. It's a necessary part of the formula, ultimately, long term.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, with the infrastructure, too.
Yeah.
If you can make that one something that people get excited about.
Yeah.
Positive.
We'll try.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Dean Lauder. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Dean, you kind of picked off the three bullseye targets that you've got.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. What are some of the positives that you see out there that you want to kind of maybe throw a little fertilizer on? See, I can change my analogy references.
There you go.
Still, Midwest thing there, fertilizer, right?
Yeah, I picked up on that. Rich in nitrogen. You know, I think that there are some natural things that this area has, and I know people talk about them, but I'm wondering if folks really see the strength behind those assets. And what I mean by that is the other day I went up on through a tour of City Hall, and part of that tour also included going up onto the roof and just taking a look around.
Isn't that cool up there?
Oh, my God. It's just...
You can kind of see the historical layout of the town.
It's beautiful.
When you get a chance, go on top of the building that's at 5th and F.
Okay.
Welfare department's in there. Oh. Go up, see if you can get, you know, access up to... And
okay.
You can really see from the waterfront coming in, you get a little higher perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, so, you know, just, and you know, coming from Minnesota, there are some topographically beautiful areas, but it's nothing like seeing rollers on the ocean and being able to see the mountains and just the natural beauty that is the Redwoods. And I understand, you know, that, you know, the city's talked about doing a canopy walk out by the zoo and trying to leverage some of that natural beauty, I think. You know, and the trail was put in by the waterfront. At least several people have told me they really enjoy that and actually take a lot of pride in that. And so I think also just architecturally, too, there's some wonderful examples of beautiful Victorians that are just absolutely amazing. And there also seems to be an intangible that I think is going to be hopefully what we can all build on together. And that is there is pride. Of this area, people are prideful who have grown up here and live here, and that is also tapped with a little bit of concern about some of the other issues that the aforementioned issues we already talked about, and so hopefully what we can do is kind of harness both of those dynamics to create focus, and hopefully make some real impacts. You're chuckling at focus.
Oh, I've got so many things off here I want to talk to you about, man. Because you're tapping into a lot of the things that a lot of us have. It's interesting. Now, the relationship between Eureka and the other cities, pretty much everybody says is a pretty strong one.
Okay.
You know, there's comfort there. But the challenge is between the city and the state. That is, mm-hmm. you know, when you're the speck on the flea at the end of the dog tail,
mm-hmm.
it's tough to get... command much attention.
Well, sure.
Yeah. When you have been at some of the other locations in the small towns, how do you get the attention of the big boys? To not necessarily get an unfair share or a lion's share, but just to remind them, hey, us too.
Yeah, you know, and I don't want to seem naive at all, because I realize that California is a political landscape that I haven't navigated yet, and I will learn as I go in that respect. However, my previous experience, for example, when I very first started out, right out of grad school, 26 years old, I'm working for a small farming community of about 1,100, 1,200 people. Not big at all. And like you said, I think it's a flea on the end of a dog's tail. I don't know that I want to refer to my one of my old communities as a flea, but the size applies, right? Real tiny. How do you get the attention? And it's an endless amount of work, actually, trying to build those relationships with different organizations that can help you magnify your presence. All right. And so what I did was I didn't try to just go up to the Capitol with our mayor and visit with our delegation and then hopefully visit with people that were friendly to our delegation and try to build that. I mean, I would probably fossilize and start producing petroleum myself before anything good would come of that, right? However, that's not a completely, you shouldn't completely ignore those connections. For example, the state has the League of Minnesota Cities in the former place that I'd get involved with committees there. I'd get involved with relationships there. I'd build connections with like the director level type folks and try to leverage their knowledge, their weight, their ability to move people in directions that were beneficial for those small communities.
Yeah, but you are a bureaucrat, right? You could have said networking and saved about 3 minutes of our lives. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:44. We're back talking shop this morning with Dean Lauder. Dean, the concept, obviously, of getting the job starts with an interview.
That's true.
I thought it was really bizarre, unsettling, perhaps, the interview process that the city of Eureka chose to select you. Not that the decision is wrong, but the process was a little interesting.
Mm.
What were your impressions of that? I mean, is that something that, you know, let's say, pick a department head, doesn't matter. Would you replicate that process?
So can I ask you to expand upon what struck you as odd? Is there an example you'd throw?
Oh, the public gauntlet would be one thing. You know, let's have a party and invite everybody. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, you do my perspective, and I showed up and saw the crowd went, yeah, never mind. You know, I'll get my piece of them later. But, you know, you who shows up to those types of things?
Yeah.
Vesteds. Okay. Those who are politically loud,
mm-hmm.
Okay, special interest entities,
mm-hmm.
Big, small, left, right, up, down, doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
And people who have the time to go, and, you know, I mean, if you want to reach family, right,
mm-hmm.
Young family, you don't have a nighttime meeting, you don't have a daytime meeting.
Yeah.
You basically have to go knock on their door because the kids have got things going on with sports or music or extracurricular, or they're going to school, mom and dad are busing their hump to get things done. They're doing dinner. Maybe they're trying to mow the lawn, walk the dog. They kind of, they don't have time to go to a public meeting,
mm-hmm.
about what? No. Okay. No. Sorry. So the regular guy wasn't represented, but those with special interests,
mm-hmm.
were.
Yeah. You know, and truthfully, I've always been a little mystified by that element of an executive search process. It's a very common element, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, different consultants have used that, and I think that oftentimes it's in response for there to be a desire for some kind of public touch to at least the finalists or the candidates. My personal feelings about it is that. And I've had this experience before, is that it's really hard to have a value conversation because it's so loud and there are maybe in this case there were five of us, and we're kind of in our own circles with different residents or folks, and everybody's throwing questions at you, and it's hard to have a good back and forth. Probably the most valued part of that phase, I think, was when each candidate had an opportunity to just go to the podium and speak to the public a little bit about who they are, why they're interested, why we're here. And, you know, that actually, I think, at least gave those present an opportunity to get a feel for you as a speaker, as a person, as a professional. But there are some folks who have caught me either at a business locally or stopped by City Hall, and they've said, you know, I was at that event and I waited in line but never got a chance to talk to you, or something like that, which is unfortunate when people take time out of their day to do just that.
Yeah, kind of like a feeding frenzy. I mean, I have a question for you, but now there's 58 other pairs of ears listening.
And yeah.
It's like, well, am I really going to ask you the question I want to ask?
Yeah.
Or is
yeah.
it going to be, oh, so well, how about them Packers? and that's about all she wrote. It's an interesting situation.
Yeah, but I've experienced it before, and a lot of my colleagues and I over the years, we've talked about executive searches, and you know the process leading up to that particular event, including even just the application part of it. There's a pretty exhaustive documentation submission that each candidate has to provide. Of course, you get backgrounded, and they learn as much as they can about you from a financial standpoint, and you know, hopefully you don't have any kind of a record, of course.
Right.
That's always
that criminal thing. Yeah,
that's always a bonus, you know. But there's a lot of vetting that happens up until that point, and then the final interview process actually was about 2 days long, and it had different facets to it. That was just one of them. So,
and did you vet the community?
You know, I did actually. My wife and I both kind of did a lot of research, and we flew in a day early, so we drove around a lot. We just deliberately got lost and got a feel for the community, and just wanted to know what are the impressions. And you know, driving downtown or in Old Town, you see some of the architecture and the energy, you see the infrastructure needs, and of course you see the homelessness issues. You see it all at once, boom, right in your face. And none of that dissuaded us from really wanting to be here and embracing the community.
Yeah, I've often thought that, you know, when you make the final cut, they ought to buy you guys a week. Set you up, go explore.
Yeah.
Explore the region, explore the town, explore the people, explore the business. Do it all on your own. Then we'll talk.
Yeah.
And we will, too. Next month.
All right.
Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks.
All righty.
Appreciate the time.
See everybody tomorrow morning.